You are welcome to the podcast of Dominion Chapel International, the special place. We are a church that believes in pure worship, unadulterated word and family. Be enlightened as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! One thing you must never surrender to the enemy is your mouth. Hallelujah. In battle, when you lose your mouth, you have lost the war. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The greatest tragedy that can happen to any man is not to know when a dispensation is over. This was said about the sons of Issachar, and I believe you walk in the spirit of the sons of Issachar. It said the sons of Issachar, they had all their brethren at their command. Why? They were not big. They were small. They were little. Yet they had all of their brethren at their command. And their secret is because they had an understanding of the times and the seasons. And they knew what Israel ought to do per time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. An understanding of the times and seasons will put you in charge anywhere, any day. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So that is why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. And with all thy getting, say, get understanding. They go together. So when you go for knowledge, you must draw wisdom from the knowledge and then draw understanding from that. That is what makes it effective. It turns it to power in your hands. Hallelujah. Don't just be satisfied with the shallow waters. There's depths for you to, you know, for you to explore. When you explore the depths, you get the treasures that puts you in control and in charge forever. Praise the Lord. But the devil must not take away your mouth. Amen. Never surrender that to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big, big, big shout. Come on, shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah! Shout hallelujah! Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Say with me, thank you, Father. Say with me again, thank you, Father. Say loudly, thank you, Father. Let it come from your bowels. Thank you, Father. Amen. This morning, the Lord wants to perform a surgery in all of us. We have been brought into heaven's theater this morning. A pruning is taking place. We are on the theater bed of heaven. And the chief physician himself is going to work on all of our hearts. Whatever is not desirable, whatever does not resemble him, he's cutting it off today. Whatever makes people to look at you and say, is this one too a Christian? Heaven's theater is set. The chief surgeon is already at post. And right now, he's cutting off whatever will shamify your Christianity. Whatever will make people to doubt that you belong to him. Whatever will make people to refuse and reject the words from your mouth. because your life and the words that are coming out from your mouth are not matching. Today, the surgery of heaven by the chief surgeon himself will cut off. And all I ask of you this morning is your total surrender. Is your total surrender. I just want you to release yourself to him this morning. Lord, whatever you want to do with me, here am I, Lord. I present myself to you. Shape me, mold me, Lord. Tear out whatever does not represent you in my life. He said, for whatever tree that the heavenly that the Heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted out. Today, the Lord wants to heal our characters. The Lord wants to heal who we are. He wants to heal our characters. So that our hearts and our lives will be good ground for the fruit of the Spirit to be fully cultivated in us. So that when men behold us, then they will say, indeed, these are Christians. Hallelujah. Are you set for that? Are you set for that? Are you set for that? Hallelujah. Tell the Lord I'm ready. Lift up your two hands to him and say, I'm ready, Lord. Lift up your two hands again and say, I'm ready, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Look around and see. The works of God are everywhere all around you. If you cannot see anything, stand in front of the mirror, you'll see one. On a very serious note, why didn't God carry your nose and put it on your forehead? And send your mouth to your eyes, or put your mouth to your ears? Why didn't he carry your legs and plaster it on the back of your head? Of God, what am I saying? You have been created by such a unique God who made everything, including you, to precision. When a tailor wants to make a dress for you, or a seamstress wants to make you a dress, they take your measurement. For the ladies, it's not even as critical. Let me go to the men. When you want to make a suit, and you bring a tailor to come and take measurement for the suit, the slightest mistake in the application of the measurements, or even in the taking of the measurements, can destroy everything. Why? Because the suit is actually meant to fit the body. The suit is meant to follow all the contours of the body. You don't make a slightest error. Spoils everything. Praise the Lord. When parents give birth to children, when a child is born, in fact, as soon as the child is born, I know that Prof. Rojo was just there. As soon as the child come out, they are eager to see who doesn't resemble. Oh, he looks like me. This one say, oh, he looks like me. This one say, oh, no, he looks more like me. Oh, he looks more like me. Why is it like that? Because there is a certain pride every parent wants to experience, to know that this one came out from me. And so he bears my traits. He carries my character. When we see the things that look like us in our children, we are excited, especially when they are positive. So fathers will always go when the child does well. Hi, can you see how my daughter just got A's, all straight A's? Oh, you're like your father. That's so wow. That's so wow. You're like your father. Mother never failed. Let the child go and fail and come. You see, in fact, this one is not even the daughter now. The son that he was always boasting with now becomes the mother's son. Can you see your son? Can you see your son? Just like you, because my sister was now born. We are always excited to have our children, you know, replica our traits. When you see your face in your child, you feel proud. Now, if you, who is a human being, long to give children birth to children that look like you, how do you think God feels when you are called by his name and then he looks like you, and he looks at you, but he cannot see anything of himself in you? Now, also look at the other side. How do you think he will feel when he looks at you and then he says, yes, this is truly, truly, literally, this is not my picking, I'm in Bonham. Praise the Lord. I was sharing with somebody, and I told my husband, I said, my mom is 90 now. She's in her 91st year. After all these years, I am just discovering some things, some traits of hers that I carry, which I never knew I had. Because at the time I was with her, I had no opportunity of discovering that I. Certain mannerisms, certain things she does when she's taking her bath. And I realized I was doing those things. And I said, hey, so this thing came from here. And I was telling my husband, I said, I'm still discovering, I'm seeing things. And I said, Then I'll tell her, I said, Mama, now you, I take this thing resemble, Parents take pride when they see that their children look like them. Don't you think that God also will want to take pride seeing that he can see himself in you? He said, my little children, for whom I travail with pangs of birth again until Christ is formed in you. So when Paul said, be ye imitators of me, he qualified it by saying, as I am of Christ. So nothing qualifies you to be imitated or emulated except you have emulated Christ. And in this month that we are looking, we are saying that the kingdom harvest is ripe, we must put in the sickle. One sickle you must put in is your character. Praise the Lord. It's your character. We have too many Christians who have the form of godliness but have nothing of the power thereof to show. Praise the Lord. Jesus chose his apostles, the disciples, before they became his disciples. The Bible said he called, he appointed 12. First of all, to be with him. Ultimate goal is to send them. But before the ultimate goal could be achieved, they have to spend time with him. Jesus came into the world. The Bible says it is a crooked and perverse world. And out of this crooked and perverse world, he picked out 12 people. Who were full of the crookedness and the perverseness of the world. They were not saying so. They were not saying, he didn't choose them because they were already holy and godly and saints. No. They were raw, crude. As bad can be. Did you think that Judas started stealing when Jesus called him? No. There's no thief that just suddenly starts stealing. This is how bad now. Would they, are you 50 pesos to an hour? Would that were China and I deny Iran? She ye. Yeah, she ye pa. If you don't handle it from now, you are actually breeding a thief. Many years ago, it was said, a story was told of an armed robber that was arrested and caught in Nigeria and was to be sent those days in Nigeria, armed robbery, firing squad straight. And he was tied to the stakes and was to be shot to death. They said, okay, what's your last wish? He said, please call my mother for me. Mother, someone who am I new? And it's like that because, you see, you carry the children in your womb. And you actually start nurturing them from there. From the moment conception takes place, you start nurturing. And when the child comes out, you continue the nurturing you began from the womb. When the child is playing now, you want to sleep, but the child is in his own play mode. Now he wants to play and he's inside there. The apartment he has rented in your body. And he has paid full price for it, therefore you have no right to tell him what to do. So you see the woman's stomach. One time the thing is like a cone, the next time it's like the shape of the stomach is just changing. Because the child is just enjoying himself inside. And then, you know, you can actually begin the nurturing of that child. I have seen where mothers will begin to play a certain kind of music. They want the child to be cool. So they play some worship. And they say, bros, I need to sleep. It's been a long day. So you to rest some while. If you, as a human being, can have that thought and that wisdom, that the child you have brought forth, you want to nurture the child along the lines of a certain culture. How much more God? As we were coming, I asked Pastor Jesh. I said, why do you think that Jesus called his apostles, disciples, and said first they had to be with him? And he gave me a very beautiful delivery. All correct, very beautiful. And he talked and talked and then we shared. And then I looked at it and I realized. And I said, you know, training is what builds character. So just when we got to the bend, I asked him, I said, have you ever heard the word federal character before? He said, no. Do you know the word? Somebody know what is called federal character? The name, even you get it. From the name, you know it. Now, it is every set of people, they have a certain pattern, a certain way of doing things. You can call it culture, but culture is just an aspect of federal character. When you say a federal character, that means when you take the people of that area, when you take Indians, for example, there's a federal character. If an Indian doesn't know how to do this, then we have to check the Indianness. As a child is born, no. It's a federal character. Praise the Lord. And when you watch the telenovelas, everybody that is talking, it's like there's pepper in his mouth. What you can trace generally to a set of people in a certain geographical location is called the federal character. And every set of people, every group of people, they have their federal character, what they are known with or known by. There's a certain tribe in Nigeria, they are called the Tula people. One of the ways you identify a Tula man is the flatness of his head. Because almost shed that flattened thing. Yes, it's like they almost shed that, they flattened the thing. God knows what the things they use. There's another tribe in Nigeria they call the Dakarawas, Dakarkari people. For the other name, they come from the part of Nigeria called Zuru in Kebbi State and Niger State. They chisel their teeth. So they make all their front teeth to be like canine teeth. It becomes sharp and pointed. You know why? Because they eat meat a lot. They love meat. They love meat. So we usually tease them, say, Badakare kominama. Badakare kominama, that means the Badakare is the person where it comes from. It's not like saying, Akan, right? So Badakare kominama. Kominama means everything is meat. So you say, kominama, ban the tire motor. We say, so we tell them, everything is meat except the tire of a car. Then they will respond. They will respond that, call tire motor, nyeju uta zechu. That means, even the car tire, when you put fire under it, it becomes edible. That's how far they love meat. So it's difficult for you to see a Badakare whose teeth are not all, you know, spaced out and sharp. And they usually have small, small teeth. I come from the Ijaw tribe, from the state called Bayelsa. When you look at the map of Nigeria, we are down there at the base where all the water gather. One common trait with my people is high cheekbones. You hardly see an Ijaw. That's why we said that, you know, we have our people in Ghana. It's difficult for you to see an Ijaw person that doesn't have high cheekbones. Very beautiful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why am I telling you all this morning? It is time for us to put in the sickle of our character. People hear us, they hear our names, but they don't see our name in us. We are called Christians. If you like, Christians, Ghanaians, Nigerians, Americans, you know, Christians, the people who belong to the nation. The nation of Christ has a character. It has a culture. And until we imbibe that and begin, the world begins to see that in us, our evangelism will not be as fruitful as it should be. Because before people hear you, they see who you are. Hallelujah. Let me read to you what the Lord said to me a few moments before I went up. Praise the Lord. The Lord said to me a while ago, He said, your character is what gives weight, value, and credibility to your words. Your character. Your character. That is what gives weight, value, and credibility to your words. Your words are not weighty because you know so much, or you have learned so much, or you have gone to so many schools and you have so many certificates. It's not the kind of school you attended, Oxford, you attended Harvard, you attended, makes your word, or you went to Infantsifim or Wegehe or what, or what the Ebri girls from which they call. That's not what. That's not what makes your word weighty. That's not what makes your words credible. But your words are weighty because of who you are. Your words are weighty because of who you are. The person that you are inside. And who you are is shaped by the things you spend your time with. What you feed, because anything you spend your time with is your feeding time. If you spend all your time on your phone, it's feeding time. You are feeding your person. You spend all your time cooking, it's feeding. Whatever you do that engages your time is feeding. You are feeding your person. You are feeding your soul, your who you are. You are either feeding the flesh, or you are feeding the spirit, or you are feeding the soul. A lot of us, unfortunately, spend a lot of time feeding our flesh. And so our spirits are kwashiorkored. Because the things that would give nutrients to our spirit, the things that will make our spirits robust and vibrant, we don't spend time with those things. Hallelujah. And unfortunately, your spirit is what gives value and life to your body. So when you have spent time feeding your flesh at the expense of your spirit, man, what happens is that before you know it, your flesh begins to pack up. Because in your flesh, there's no capacity to sustain itself. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So Jesus called them. Now, if he tells us not to put novices in office, is he the one that will now send novices? He said, first of all, they need to be with him. Give me the TPT translation of that scripture. He appointed the 12 whom he named apostles. He wanted them to continually be at his side as his friends, and so that he could send them out. How do you choose your friends? What determines who becomes your friend? Even you, when you are choosing friends, how do you go about it? People of God, a lot of times we choose friends, we engage people as our friends because they have something, we have something in common with them, isn't it? It said, birds of the same feather do what? They flock together. You will not go and carry, befriend somebody who is completely opposed to who you are. Completely different. That is why it says we should not be unequally yoked. So today, a lot of us suffer from our friendships because our friendships are unequal yokes. You are befriending a person, you know, in this day, in this time, when pretense is the order of the day. And everything people do, they have an ulterior motive behind it. So you don't really like the person. The person does not even appeal to you. But because of what you will get out of the person, you befriend the person. The girl is a rich kid in school. She's got a ride. Her room has all the best things you can think about. You don't like her lifestyle, but you befriend her. So that you two will go to cruise for the car some. Now, as are some of you single sisters, you are around men that have abused who you are. They've torn your dignity to shreds. You see, your dignity, they've turned it to shreds. And yet you are there. Aren't you? Ma, me person me jai yo. Ma, actually, me person me come, person me jai. But okase obe to da ya, mami. Inti, me try amana to ansa. One ne kachira u se, e bedru honu u da suti ase. One ne kachira u se, endru honu wa nku an tu an chuni already. I'm tired of reading, and a young girl, wait. Shot, stabbed to death by her boyfriend. Boyfriend. Not even her. Boyfriend. Not her. Boyfriend. Not her. Not boyfriend. On warrior. On chia bibia for you. Yes, call will see. And tonight, you see, best thing call evangelism. Yeah, what you say? I didn't hear. Today you must surrender all of those things. You see, when Jesus came to the world for this noble assignment he came to do of taking our place in death so that he will give us a place in life. Consider it robbery. He left his glory, left his honor, left his status, left everything. He completely emptied himself. How can he fill a cup that is already full? He's full to overflowing. what should he put in the cup again? And you are singing it sanctimoniously. Fat tears are dropping from your eyes all over you. My cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and fetch. That's still my woman, my brother. I lift it up. Lift it up and make me whole. God hates waste. Gather the fragments and let nothing be lost. Do you know what a fragment is? It's an insignificant, negligible piece. God says, gather the fragment. Let nothing be lost. And you want God to come and waste his treasure, his grace, to waste it on you who is already full and has no room to receive. He called them to be with him so that he can take the perverseness and the crookedness of the world out of them, turn them upside down and empty them completely of the world, and now fill them with him so that they can bear the federal character of the kingdom. Then only then can he send them out. Only then. After they had emptied themselves, they allowed him. He poured himself into them. How do I know? They saw them at Antioch and they said, these ones. You know something? Why do you think that when the soldiers got to the garden to arrest Jesus, they didn't even know who the Jesus was again? He wasn't a stranger. He wasn't hidden. He was going in and out amongst them every day. Yet they got to the garden and they didn't even know which one was Jesus. To save his disciples, he has to say, I am he. You know why? By reason of fellowship, they had taken on his form. And that's why today you see that even when a couple, when there's a bond between a couple, before long, before you know it, they begin to resemble each other. And I discover it's the same with friends. When you have a friend that you are so close with, so bond with, before you know it, you start to resemble each other. You start to talk alike. You walk alike. You do everything alike. As if your parents gave birth to you on the same day. That's why you hear the term, my sister from another mother. My brother from another mother. How come that this man could be mistaken for Reverend Isaiah Fosu-Pache Jr.? Somebody comes looking for him and he sees it like, oh, that's him, that's him, that's him. Only for him to appear in the front and say no. Fellowship, spending time with the Lord will make you to imbibe who he is. And they called them Christians. He said he chose them to be with him. He took the time to invest himself into them. And immediately in Acts chapter 4, we see the proof. Verse 13. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter, they saw their boldness. They say, And they also realized, they took note, these are the same ignorant and unlearned men that have been with us. These were the same crude men, crookish and perverse men that had been with us. And then they drew a conclusion. And they took note of them, that they had been with Christ. Give me the TPT. Give me the TPT of that verse, of that scripture. Hallelujah. The council members were astonished as they witnessed the bold courage of Peter and John, especially when they discovered that they were just ordinary men who had never had religious training. Never had. Never had. No theology. No theology. They didn't attend the Trinity. They didn't attend the IBIS. They didn't attend they didn't attend any of those. Oh. They didn't go to Oral Roberts. They didn't go to anything. He said they discovered, especially when, I like the especially. Especially, he said, given that, observing nothing, realizing that they did not have any religious training. He said, then, I welcome you to the den of your life. I welcome you to the den of your life. He said, then they began to understand. They began to understand the effect Jesus had on them simply by spending time with him. Have you noticed something? Semantics here. What say? Then they began to understand the effect Jesus had on them simply by spending time with them. Have you noticed that's not the way it is put? They began to understand the effect Jesus had on them simply by spending time, they spending time with him. You can never be with him and remain the same, people. You can never be with him and remain the same. As they spent time with him, a pruning was taking place. The crookedness was being removed. The ruggedness was being smoothed off. Everything crooked and perverse about their life was taken away just by spending time with him. Moses went up to the mountain, spent time with God. He came back and the people could not behold his face. People of God, you cannot spend time with him and remain the same. And sadly, that is what Christians today, we don't have time to do. The things that are important, we don't have time for it. We are too much in a hurry, too busy with things. We have become like matter. Matter, matter, you are concerned about too many things. Only one thing is needful. Only one thing is needful. And Mary, your sister, has chosen that good thing and it can never be taken away from her. See, the things you acquire from spending time with him can never be taken away from you. Some of you, that is all you need for your healing to take place. God is not waiting for you to go look for God, or stand on some healing line and then somebody prays and lays hands on you. God just wants you to be with him. And as you spend time with him, you just discover the sickness is gone. You don't even know where it went, how it went, when it went. You don't know. You just wake up and you discover, it's been a while that thing hasn't happened again. When did this happen? When did it go? When you spend time with the Lord, you are in his theater, in his surgical room, and he removes the things that are undesirable. If we must be effective as harvesters of this end time, we need to spend time with him. People, we need to spend time with him. God prioritized the fruit of the Spirit above the gift of the Spirit. But we have turned it the other way around. We prioritize the gift above the fruit. The gift without the fruit has no future. Charisma without character has no future. Charisma has a bad habit of dropping you at the time you need it the most. But what will sustain you and hold you is character. So people of God, take time to build character. Build character. That is what gives you value. That's what makes your word effective, not your grammar. Who you are. I can foresee. Because nidino and nia oyen ni pakuna oyen sena otie no nidino no ni otie na se en na ma no sadi no oye kwatikwa ono on tumani bia sanka ono so be friend kwatukwa se obema on tuma you can't see anything. Hallelujah. And they took note, then they began to understand the effect Jesus had on them simply. You see how they put it? Simply. It's something, it doesn't look so much. Just spending time with him. Fellowship. You stay in the company of my husband and I, and we are faced with certain, you discover that we are starting to say the same thing at the same time. And sometimes ask this one, say, when I go to tell this one this and that, it can tell you verbatim what the person will say. How did it come about? Fellowship. Oh. It's fellowship. 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 How can you go and draw people out there to come into one fellowship with God when you don't have fellowship with Him? How can you sell a product you don't know? I remember when I went, you know, to Cote d'Ivoire for the first time. And I told my mom I was going to Cote d'Ivoire. And then she made an audio message to my sister. When Josephine come, make sure say Josephine walk. How person will get that 2 certificates, no go walk. Get degree, no work. Make you work. She didn't understand that time that I was already employed. So I listened to the audio tape before I took it. And I laughed, quack. So just to satisfy her, I went, prepared CV, sent to all manner. UNESCO, UAID, BAD, everywhere. Ivorian companies. Then all those people, closed door. The one Ivorian company said they wanted to hire me. They were selling certain insurance products. And then they say I should go and sell the products. What I don't know. So when I knock on an office, bonjour, mesdames, messieurs, je m'appelle Josephine, je suis de cette compagnie, je connais, on vend, I don't know the product, so I was fumbling. I don't know the product, and in fact, I didn't sell quarter, not top of half. I didn't sell anyone. I don't know the product. You can never sell a product you don't know. You cannot lead someone to a place you have never been. You cannot give what you don't have. Hallelujah. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. You cannot take somebody to where you have not been yourself. You can't. To be with Him. God is calling you this morning to be with Him. Spend time with Him. Open up. Allow Him to cut off all those undesired things about your character trait. You are known in your area. You cannot even say you are a Christian. When you are going to church choir, you have to hide your Bible. Because one kasa, you know that your behavior, your character in the area and the church you say you are going, they don't match. A woman was part of our church in Kumasi, and then I went to the market and I was with the contemporary seller, and this woman came. She was talking, and she didn't know I was standing there. So when she finished talking and manifesting herself, then she now some, she said, Ante, waha, me say, ay, me waha. Eno every year to say, ayo, Ante, ayo. And then when she left, the control wrestler said, Mama Naiji, we su ye ma sorry ba, me say, ay, yo. We, me say, ay, oye wa sorry ba, me say, ay. O si, kwan sa, ento kwa. Jai. You know when Kumasi, when they say jai, what does that means? It is beyond measure. I love my Kumericans. They have a word. They say jai. What are you known by in your area? Do you have the federal character of the kingdom? Or you have the federal character of the world? When they look at you, can they really see Jesus? Before anybody says one, you have talked 10. They know you as one who does not respect. That's the name they have put on your forehead. Because that's how you have been living. You do not respect anybody. When you see an elder, you don't care, you don't mind. That is when your swag will come. How come is it that today we see elders standing and young people sitting in a public place? And when they see the elder coming, that's when they will even cross the leg. Praise the Lord. What are you known by? They see you every day when you are dropping down from different cars. Every day. They see you. A will come and carry you with car color white. Car color blue will come and drop you. Color red will come and pick you. Yellow will come and drop you. And they cannot say or continue at all because when they see your packaging, they know. Oh, because I saw you the wash your magazine. Who drew fear? Now I bought magazine, no? See you on Sunday. I told you people some time ago, in my wardrobe, I don't have what they call asoriata. You see, I came to hear asoriata there. I don't have what they call asoriata there. And there's, if any dress that cannot be brought to church, it is not worth having. If you thought they fear tidy, maybe I understand. There's some casual wear in the house. Yes, I wonder. But say, asoriata. What's the meaning of asoriata? Any dress you have in your wardrobe that you cannot bring to church, you can't wear confidently and bring to church, what is it doing in your wardrobe? Where will you wear it to? I'm not saying the wearing of shorts is bad though. Don't carry me go. But please, if you say you are a child of God, you wear shorts that all half of your nyash is showing, we have to ask you. They call it what? Know the names again. Those days, we call in my time, they call it hot pants. Eh? The thing is here. And, you know, you are walking on the streets with it. You go to the market with it. You go to the bank with it. Are you okay? Like, are you okay? Are you okay? Eh? Common sense should even tell you that there are certain things that shouldn't go beyond your door. In the end, you are telling us you are civilized. You are a bush person. You are a bush. You say you are civilized. You are the bush person. If you don't know how to dress to the different places you are going, you are bush. One day we went to Accra Central, and then daddy needed to do a transaction, so we entered the bank there. And here comes this lady. It's not a stitch. Ah, here comes this lady, mine. Look, the shorts were here, and then she was wearing some bathroom slippers, because it is fine, with her anklets, and then she's wearing a tank top that the thing has, and she's heavily endowed. So the thing has pulled the tank top down, and this one too has gone up, and she has come into the bank. I had to say, oh, my wife, go on. Oh, I said, this girl wants to tell people that she's civilized or she's bush. What are you exuding? What are people reading from you? Did you not hear that he said we have become like epistles that will be read by men? What are people reading from you? You are using your mouth to say something. You call him Jesus. Jesus said they honor me with their mouth, but their hearts are far away from me. And until you empty yourself, he can't feel you. Today I want you to make up your mind that I'm emptying myself for him to fill me with himself. I must imbibe the character of the kingdom to which I belong. When people see me, they must know that I belong to the nation called Christ. Because I am living Christ. And my character is speaking. Did you not hear what he says about women who are married to unbelieving husbands? He said that they don't need to talk. He said, but let them, the men, observe your chaste conversation. Your chaste conversation means your character, your conduct that is so godly and pure. That's why he said to Peter, let not your adorning be that of jewelry and braids and everything that some people have made doctrine out of it. He said, but if you are to be known at all, you should be known for your godly character. My little children, over whom I travail again with pangs of birth until Christ be formed in you. You are the one to allow it to happen. God will not force you. He has done all that he needs to do. He will not do anything new again. That's why anytime you do not conform to the kingdom, it pains him. He said, you are crucifying his son again. And it is given that only once would he pay that price. Once for all. Anytime you step out of line with the character of the kingdom from which you are or to which you belong, what you are doing is crucifying him again. If you being human, want your children to resemble you. How do you think God? How do you think he will not want you to resemble him if he's truly your father? If indeed he has given birth to you, if his DNA is in you, why would you not resemble him? If you are doing the things that you should do, you are spending time on the right things, fellowshipping with him in his word, fellowshipping with him in prayer, that your prayer is not give me, Lord, I receive, give me, Lord, I receive, give me, Lord, I receive. But it's a fellowship, prayer of fellowship. My Father, here am I. I just want to be with you. I've missed you. I just want to come and lay my head on your thighs and feel you touch my back and pat my head. I just want to feel your warm embrace, Lord. I'm just here, Lord, because I just love being with you. Spend time with him long enough for him to pour himself into you. When you get up and you step out, why should Christ say, when you see me, you have seen the Father? Hey, how many of us can have that boldness to make that statement now? When you see me, you have seen the Father. He chided them for saying, show us the Father. I said, have I been with you this long? And you are still asking me to show you the Father? Have you not learned? Have you not observed? Have you not noticed that I and my Father are one? So when I speak not only his language, I speak his words. I speak out his thoughts. I do what he does. Say, I do nothing of my own self, but what I see the Father doing, that's what I do. I and my Father are one. May that become your testimony. One time I was asked how I would want to be remembered. And I said, the mentioning of my name should just spell out Christ. That is all I want. At the end of my days here on earth, and they mention the name, Joseph Impel Yafo Supachi, it should be equal to Christ. Time to start living him. It is time to start living. L-I-V-I-N-G. Start living Christ. Then you can now give him out to the world. You can now share him with your environment, in your community. And when they look at you, they will realize that you are a worthy representative, a worthy ambassador, and you will never be rejected again. Why? Because your mouth and your heart align. What the people see and what they hear you say, they align. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Rise on your feet and just pray with me. Father, I present myself to you.
God bless you for listening to this message. You can also enjoy our messages on Anchor, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Visit us at Dominion Chapel International, the special place near the XGI building, Shashi, Accra. Do remember to subscribe to this podcast to receive more life-impacting teachings by our seasoned ministers of the gospel every single week. You can also follow DCI, the special place, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Always remember that God loves you.